If the Philadelphia Phillies want to take that next step, they must make a big splash in MLB free agency.
Welcome on into First Pitch, your daily MLB podcast for all news, notes, and everything under the sun when it comes to Major League Baseball. I'm Christian Rau. You can find me on Twitter at Christian S. Rau, and Troy Brock here today, and you can find him on Twitter at Troy B. Baseball. And Troy, I know you're excited for this episode. We have a very excited one. We're talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. We're going to just go deep diving into the Phillies on this episode. A little slow on the market when it comes to free agency. You know, Juan Soto, I think you can only talk about him so much right now. He's definitely rumored around where he's going to be, but it seems like one of those teams he's not rumored to be with Troy is the Philadelphia Phillies. It seems like they are out on Juan Soto, and he's starting to eliminate teams himself, and one of those teams that's not even in the picture is the Phillies, according to multiple MLB insiders. So with that being said, what do the Philadelphia Phillies do now? We are at a point in time where this team was just in the World Series a few years ago. They won the division this past year. They get that first round bye. How exciting was that, Troy? And they can't capitalize. So what does Dave Dombrowski do now? What does the Philadelphia front office do now? After a terrible trade deadline this summer, Troy, there's so much to talk about. Let me finally get it your way. Troy, what do you think about this?
Yeah, Gelb reported yesterday that the Philadelphia Phillies did not meet with Juan Soto and didn't even have an offer on the table for Juan Soto. So there goes my prediction that he'd be going to the Phillies. But it's just that's a big blow, because obviously he's the guy in free agency this year, and he would have made a massive impact on this team that's already full of stars. And it's just, even though they are full of stars and they have been full of stars over the last few years, they just haven't been able to get to that next level. They made it to the World Series, but they lost the World Series. The next year, they made it to the National League Championship Series. They lost in the National League Championship Series. Cough, cough. Thanks, Craig Kimbrell. Cough, cough. Then they made it only as far as the National League Division Series and lost in the National League Division Series to the New York Mets. So they have got to make a big splash. And when you have someone like Dave Dombrowski at the helm, you expect your team to make big splashes. And at the trade deadline this year, they didn't do that. They brought in Carlos Estevez, who was a good player on a bad team, who turned out to be a mediocre player on a really good team. And they brought in a guy like Austin Hayes, who, in his defense, they utilize wrong. I will give him a little bit of defense there. They tried to force him into an everyday role, and he is not built for an everyday role. When you look at his splits this year and for his career, he cannot hit right-handed pitching. He's a right-handed batter. He cannot hit right-handed pitching. He is only suitable in a platoon role for the weak side platoon, and they should have done that with him and with Brandon Marsh. That was it. I forgot his name. The other left-handed reliever, they brought him in from the White Sox, and he was okay. I mean, he's not somebody that's going to move the needle. He's a middle reliever that's going to take an inning or two here and there. He's not a big splash. But with the free agents that are still available, in order for the Phillies to make that next step, they have to sign Teoscar Hernandez, Anthony Santander, Corbin Burns, or Max Fried. And if they don't get any of those guys, then their window's closed. Like, they'll still be a playoff contender, and they'll still make the playoffs, but they're not going to be a World Series contender, because it's just, especially with Rob Thompson as the manager, because of just the ineptitude that he has at his job. And it's really frustrating with the amount of talent that the Phillies have to watch them just flounder in the playoffs. Like the series against the Mets this year, the Mets won the series. Congratulations. The Phillies had the worst approach at the plate in the history of baseball that anyone has ever seen. They were swinging at everything, chasing everything. You have guys like Nick Castellanos, who had a over 50% swinging at the first pitch rate this season, carried that over into the postseason and thinks it's cute that that's a thing. he thinks it's cute that he swings at more than 50% of the first pitches that he sees. He calls it glorified batting practice. And when he's at the plate, it's, and that's part of the reason why he is on the trade block. Now you have guys like Alec Bohm, who throughout the season had a really good year. For the most part, he was not trying to hit home runs every time he stepped to the plate. He was trying to hit the ball into the gaps. For a while, he led Major League Baseball in doubles. He was on pace before his injury for 59 doubles. That is an insane amount of doubles. I think the last person to do that was Chase Utley. At least for the Phillies, the last person to do that was Chase Utley. And then he got injured. He came back and he tried to do too much. And even when he was doing good throughout the season, he was still having the emotional outburst. Like I talked about last week or whenever it was, he could come up to the plate in the second inning, nobody on, a scoreless game, no outs. If he hit the ball and grounded out or flew out, he was going to slam his bat down. He just has emotional outbursts for no reason, and that's why he's on the trade block now. And it's then you've got guys like Trey Turner, who were brought to the team to be another superstar along the same lines as Bryce Harper. And I wrote about this a little bit in an article for Sports Illustrated that came out, I think, yesterday. He is one of the worst contracts on the team because he is nowhere near as good as he was before his time with the Phillies. And he has never been good defensively. He is not made to be a shortstop. He needs to be moved to either center field or a corner outfield spot because he still has speed. He didn't use it on the base paths much in 2024 because of the injuries that he sustained earlier in the year. He tried to stay away from running as much to try and keep on the field and keep healthy. But he needs to use that speed in the outfield, not at shortstop, where he has one of the worst arms in the sport. He has no range. He has no feel for the position. It's a very frustrating team, and they need to bring in a guy like...
You don't say. Are you frustrated? I think my favorite part about this episode so far... I was just letting you cook, by the way. My favorite part of this episode so far is the fact that you were talking... I don't want to use the word complain, but you were talking about the word about emotional outbreaks from one of the players while having an emotional outbreak about the Philadelphia Phillies. I think that's my
favorite. If I had a bat, I would have slammed it on the ground. So.
Exactly, right? I think I'll go back to something here. Obviously, those four players about free agency, we're going to definitely talk about them here in just a minute. But you brought up Trey Turner, and you've brought up that a couple of times over, just times I've known you. I don't know if it's been a conversation on a podcast or something, but from the times that we've known each other, you've mentioned that about the Trey Turner. And I think it's definitely an interesting conversation when you look at his numbers and then the numbers when he is injured and how the Phillies perform and things like that. It certainly is. An interesting conversation. So I'm gonna do a little call to action here. If you're listening to this podcast, in the comment description below, do you think that Trey Turner is actually the right choice to stick with the Philadelphia Phillies? And before you answer that question, first, actually, I want you to just think about it and then give me your answer before digging into it. What do you think just as of right now? Because as of right now, when it comes to just knowing what Trey Turner is as a baseball player, as what you see on TV, MLB.com, and MLB Network highlights-wise, I have a feeling that you're going to answer one way. And then look at his numbers and tell me if that answer changes. Let me know in the comment description below, because I'm interested about that. And maybe use Troy's article, and I'll put that in the comment description below as maybe some of the things that you look up. And Troy, I do find that interesting. And it's one of the positions that are going to be looked at. And I think the infield is one of that's going to be really looked at for the Phillies this year. And Alec Bohm is one of them. You mentioned how he was off to a great start, then fell off. And now he's a potential trade candidate after being an all-star candidate, after making an all-star game. This is the same year that the Phillies had more all-stars than anyone, broke a franchise record for most all-stars, and then fell off after being a top seed in the National League, one of the top seeds, to get a first-round bye. And I'm going to swing back to what you said earlier at the beginning of your emotional outbreak. I love that, by the way. You said, and this is actually from a tweet you said yesterday morning. You said, and I'm like, well, let me just read your whole tweet. You said, with the Phillies not having an offer of Juan Soto and not even meeting with him, they have to make a splash. They have to make a splash with Teoscar, Santander, Fried, or Burns. Otherwise, the window is closed, and there'll be a team that can make the dance every year, but never go all the way. The four players you mentioned, Teoscar Hernandez, Anthony Santander, Max Fried, or Corbin Burns. Out of those four, who do you feel is the one that is the most important, that if you had to pick one for the Phillies to go after to change the landscape of that franchise moving forward and make them a World Series favorite, get them back in that race, make Dombrowski kind of, you know, make up for what that terrible trade deadline that he had this summer? What is the one that you're pointing at to say that's the guy?
Oh, it's Teoscar Hernandez, easily, hands down. The pitching doesn't really, they don't really need another ace on their staff. They already have two, some maybe three when Ranger Suarez is on. But it's Teoscar Hernandez, because if they sign Teoscar Hernandez, they could put him in left field. This is also assuming they do trade Nick Castellanos. They could move Brandon Marsh to right field or flip-flop that. Keep Brandon Marsh in left and put Teoscar Hernandez in right. Either way, their offense would be all that much the better for it, having Teoscar Hernandez over Nick Castellanos. And defensively, still in the outfield, you would still have Johan Rojas in center field, who I'm very high on, strictly because of his defense. He does not produce much at the plate, but he is one of those guys that is the top-tier defense in center field in the National League. And that is very valuable, and they need him in the center field. It's literally multiple times a week he has highlight reel plays in center field. And Brandon Marsh is another guy who is a elite defender in the outfield. So you need to keep him in the lineup every day. And with Teoscar Hernandez, that makes up for the lack of production from Johan Rojas, Brandon Marsh, Nick Castellanos when he is on the club. And even if they don't trade Nick Castellanos, they can still sign Teoscar Hernandez and then platoon Brandon Marsh and Nick Castellanos, or platoon Brandon Marsh and Johan Rojas. It's just Teoscar Hernandez is, out of those four, the guy that would make the biggest impact easily.
I could see that. I could see that. I wonder what's going to happen with him moving forward. Obviously, he had a great year last year with the Dodgers. But, I mean, Santander had a great year with the Orioles as well. The corner outfield spot, that's something that they definitely could improve. There's no doubt about that. And if you think that Nick Castellanos should be a trade piece that should be moved, then that would fit perfectly. As of right now, according to FanGraphs, when you look at their roster and their depth chart, nothing really has changed at the moment. What you have noticed and what you have seen from this roster over the past 2 years is what you've really seen. Kyle Schwarber, DH. Trey Turner, your shortstop. Bryce Harper at first. Nick Castellano in right field. Alec Bohm at third, which we know that he's a potential trade candidate. Bryson Stott at second. JT Realmuto, who's entering his final year of his contract, at catcher. Brandon Marsh at left field. And then, as you mentioned, Rojas in center. And then in the bench-wise, you have guys like Garrett Stubbs, Edmundo Sosa, Weston Wilson, Cal Stevenson. Now, this is all according to FanGraphs. That's what your bats look like on the active roster as of right now. When you're looking at this, obviously JT Realmuto, that's a pull piece that could be a big change right now. Final year of his contract, he didn't have the best season last year as well. Looks like he's on his decline. He's entering his age 34 season, so it shouldn't be too surprising that you're starting to see a decline from him like that. Does this free agency, does this offseason, do you have to make an answer for replacing JT Realmuto? Is Garrett Stubbs that answer, or is that something that needs to be replaced moving forward? Or maybe that's an afterthought, maybe for next offseason. Is that something you need to worry about right now?
Right now, I would say no. I think that they definitely need to take a step back next year and not run JT Realmuto out as often as they do, especially as catcher. Like you said, he's entering his age 34 season. And as a catcher, he's one of the catchers that plays the most. He didn't in 2024 because he had knee surgery, but he came back from that knee surgery a month later and was catching. He wasn't DHing. He was catching a month after knee surgery. And they need to not use him as much. They run him out there 5 or 6 times a week, and they need to cut that back to how a normal catcher is used. And it might help his offensive production if they did that in 2025. But as it stands right now, especially with how weak the free agency class is of catchers this year, they really don't have an option. They have JT Realmuto and Garrett Stubbs and Rafael Marchand in AAA, but they in 2025, I haven't looked at the catching free agency class in 2025, but they'll need to, it's not great. Awesome. They'll need to make an improvement via a trade then, because once JT Realmuto's gone, they shouldn't re-sign him, honestly, because, again, he'll be entering his 35 season in 2026 as a catcher. He's not going to play first base over Bryce Harper. He's not going to DH over Kyle Schwarber. And so there's really no other place for him to play. And so they'll need to make a trade to improve at catcher, because Garrett Stubbs and Rafael Marchand, while they're not the worst catchers on the planet, they're definitely not who you want to take over after JT Realmuto.
That's a good point. Now, he played 99 games last year. He's played in close to 140 over the last three seasons apiece. And last year he was still over, you know, league average. Not like, we're not saying he's a bad catcher whatsoever. And a lot of people like to misconstrue our words on this show, I've noticed, in the comment section, which, by the way, bring it on. I love your comments. So continue that. I'm all for it, and I'm all for good discourse and good conversation. But he had a 109 OPS plus. So, I mean, he was over league average, and that's something that you still need to take in consideration. He doesn't have to be a barn burner. When you look at the rest of this roster, he doesn't have to do that. And the position he's playing, that's more valuable anyways. And he's still one of the, you know, a really good defensive catcher. He's really good with the pitching staff. We've seen this pitching staff succeed for quite some time now, becoming one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. And you can't say JT Realmuto has nothing to do with that, because he absolutely does. But at the plate, last season, 266, 322, 429 for only a 751 OPS. I mean, overall, though, as a catcher, that's not bad numbers. It's just not what we've seen from JT Realmuto. 2022 JT Realmuto, when he had a 130 OPS plus and an 820, you know, OPS. Yeah, that's what we are expecting from him. And more in the 820s to 840s for OPS instead of the 750s. Is that a huge decline? No, but you have to expect that it's probably going to continue to go down. His power is probably going to continue to go down. He only had 14 home runs this past season. Now, it's only in 99 games, but something still to consider when we're looking overall at this Philly squad. We've talked about what's going to happen with this infield. Alec Bohm, he's been predicted to go to, I think, every 30 or 29 different teams as of this point. Every single person in the world has wrote an article these days saying Alec Bohm is predicted to go here, there, whatever. But the most of them I see is, as of right now, is the Seattle Mariners being a potential place for him to go. That could be interesting. We've talked about the Trey Turner conversation. Obviously, Bryce Harper's not going anywhere, although there was a rumor coming out that would he move back to the outfield if Christian Walker or someone like a Pete Alonso would be available. I don't think Dave Dombrowski's going to spend that money in that portion. So let's stick to Alec Bohm real quick before we get to the pitching staff. We didn't really dive deep too much into him. Do you think that he is a Philadelphia Philly on opening day in 2025? If not, where do you see him going, and what do you see coming back in return?
No, I don't think Alec Bohm is a Philly in 2025. I think that his emotional outbursts have ran his string out over the years, because it's been throughout his entire career, and even more so this year. And there have been reports, I think it was AJ Pierzynski that said on his podcast that is why they're wanting to trade Alec Bohm, is because of his emotional outburst. And so I don't think he's a Philadelphia Philly in 2025. And right now it looks like the Mariners are the leading candidate for Alec Bohm. I don't think the Phillies are going to get what they asked for, because they asked for either Logan Gilbert or one of their other top pitchers. Blanking on his name now, but they're not going to get that. I mean they'll probably get, I doubt they'll get any major league piece. I think they'll probably get like a prospect from the Mariners that ranks from the 10 to 20 range at best, and maybe two prospects, from one from the 10 to 20 range and one from the 25 to 30 range, if not worse. But he's a good player, and he can be a part of a team that is a contender, as we've seen over the years. But it's just, he needs a change of scenery,
and which is interesting to say for a guy who made the All-Star team in 2024, who was just there. But if you think he's an issue to the clubhouse presence with these emotional outbreaks that you're talking about, then maybe that's the reason. And it makes you wonder if the Phillies, and this is a weird kind of position for them to be in after being in a first round bye, and we're again talking about an all-star infielder, but are they desperate to move Alec Bohm?
I think they are. And I think that they've lost a lot of their leverage because of it. And I think that's why they'll only get a prospect of that caliber instead of a top prospect or a guy that can make an impact on the major league roster.
Interesting. Super interesting. And that's, again, that's another nod against Dave Dombrowski, who for the longest time continued to talk about how he's one of the greatest general managers in baseball. And I'm still going to continue to say that because he is, but his track record over, you know, the last 8 months has not been very good, Troy. You know, looking at the trade deadline, what he's done. And so I agree with you. Heading back to the beginning of what we said at this show, what is in the thumbnail of this episode? The Phillies must make a big splash if they want to get back in the contention to be a World Series favorite. We're talking about a team in the National League that have to compete against the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're not getting any worse. They're only getting better. Look what they've done already this offseason. They've already got Blake Snell. They've already re-signed Tommy Edman. And you know they're not done. So what are the Phillies waiting for? Is Dave Dombrowski finished warming up his hands? Is he sitting on them? Or is he ready to get this going but pick up the phone? It'll be interesting to see. Let's finish off this show and let's talk about this pitching staff. And you mentioned in that tweet that two pitchers could be could solve the problem for your definition of biggest splash. And you mentioned Max Fried. You mentioned Corbin Burns. Now, according to FanGraphs, according to their roster right now, their rotation is stacked, and we all know that. They had one of the best rotations in baseball last year. According to FanGraphs, Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez, Taijuan Walker. Good old Taijuan Walker, your favorite guy in the world. I'm surprised you're not wearing your Taijuan Walker jersey, actually,
at this moment, cleaners.
I know you have one. You're not a big fan of Taijuan Walker. So obviously you want to find a way to replace this guy and make this five-man rotation even better than it is right now. Now, Taijuan Walker does have a lot of money on the contract. If they could find a team to take that over, that'd be absolutely insane. And Dombrowski might get a parade just for that alone. However, Corbin Burns, Max Fried in the conversations of potentially going to the Phillies. And I'm sure that Dave Dombrowski is doing his due diligence. Now, there is some rumors about Max Fried and Corbin Burns being very close to signing, one of them with the New York Yankees. They've had presentations. They've had some things going on just over the past couple days. So what would it take for Dave Dombrowski and the Phillies to get a guy like Max Fried or Corbin Burns to change their ways and head and pitch at the bank?
I mean, you're going to have to throw the bag at them big time, especially with the rumors, the reports that have come out with Max Fried and the Yankees over the last couple of days. They're supposed to be having a second meeting soon, and Max Fried was supposed to be very, very happy with how the first meeting went. So he's most likely looking like he's going to be a Yankee after many thought he would be a Dodger following Freddie Freeman. But speaking of Dodgers, I want to point out real quick that the Phillies did win 5 of 6 games against the Dodgers in 2024 in the regular season. Yes, they are better. Philly still won 5 of 6 in the regular season, but it's and for Corbin Burns, I don't know what it's going to take. He's probably going to want to make over $30 million, and the Phillies are definitely capable of paying him that, and they're paying Zach Wheeler $42 million a year right now. So I mean, it's not a money issue with the Phillies right now. It's a getting off your ass and doing something issue, and that's what they need to do, and you pointed out the rotation: Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez, and realistically, because all of those guys throughout their career have stayed healthy over full seasons. Ranger Suarez dealt with some injuries this year, but other than that, he's been healthy throughout his career. And Zach Wheeler has been healthy during his tenure with the Phillies. That's the best 1 through 4 in baseball because of their ability on the mound, 1 and 2, they stay on the mound for a whole season. You can argue that the Dodgers have a better rotation, but they get hurt really easily. And the Dodgers know that they get hurt, and that's why they've signed so many of these top caliber pitchers like Blake Snell, who's qualified for the ERA title twice in his career. Tyler Glasnow has never thrown more than 134 innings in a single season in his career, and that was a career high he set this year. The Yamamoto, that's the Dodger. yeah, he was hurt in his first season in the majors, and Clayton Kershaw is consistently hurt and has been for 10 years now. So when you look at the Phillies rotation 1 through 4 and ignore 5 completely, it is one of the best rotations, if not the best, in baseball. And then it takes a massive drop off to 5. But if they were to sign a Corbin Burns or a Max Fried, you can put that 5 guy, whose name I will not say, in the bullpen. And then it's the best rotation in baseball, period, because all 5 of those guys stay healthy. And then they have 3 definite aces, if not 4. And it's then you wouldn't really have to worry about what the offense can do, because your pitching staff that has already put up roughly a 3.6 ERA in 2024 with a guy in the 5 hole who put up an ERA over 6, and then a revolving door in the 5 hole because you couldn't figure out what to do there, and you kept ruining guys like Tyler Phillips by having them throw 120 pitches in a game, then you lower that 3.6 ERA to a 3.2 or lower, and you have the best starting pitching ERA in the sport, and you don't have to worry about what your offense is going to do, because if you can score 4 runs, you win the game. It's really simple. And again, it's not about money. They have to just do something. They are capable of doing it. They have the payroll flexibility of doing it. John Middleton, the controlling owner, said he has no problem whatsoever with spending money because he wants to win a championship. Dave Dombrowski needs to do something to make up for the errors that he has made throughout his tenure as the Phillies president of baseball operations.
And if he doesn't, then what?
Then I'm going to have a rant for the ages on this podcast. No, if he doesn't,
then... Is he on the hot seat? If the Phillies don't reach, the same exact thing happens in 2025. Let's just say that they could win the division, but they can't win a playoff series. What happens with the front office of the Philadelphia Phillies next year? If we're having the same conversation right now next year, what are we talking about, Dave Dombrowski? What are we talking about with the Phillies front office if this same scenario happens again?
If it happens again, they 100% need to make changes. Whether they'll do it or not is a different story. It's kind of like the Yankees with Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. They're going to stick with their guys until they all go down with the ship. And it just, when you see that things are not working, when you have a manager that makes boneheaded moves time and time again throughout the regular season and postseason, when you have a president of baseball operations who says, we don't need to make moves, let's just bring in Carlos Estevez and Austin Hayes, and then let's force him to be an everyday player. I'm going to bring it up again for like the 4th time in the life of this podcast. What's the definition of insanity, Christian? Again, whether or not they'll do something is a different story. Will they need to? I think they should have fired Rob Thompson after this year. But if the same thing happens in 2025, they 100% need to make some changes. And real quick on the Rob Thompson thing, I know we're pushing up on time. Real quick on Rob Thompson, People like to bring up his win-loss record over his tenure as a defense for him. Look at his roster. Look at the roster that they have. Forget the postseason. Look at the regular season. If he didn't have a really good record as a manager with that roster, then we'd have a lot bigger issues. But his record would be a lot better if he knew what he was doing.
Okay, I want to end this show here with a segment that we're going to do for all the 30 teams. This is the first one that we're doing right now. We're going to get through them during the offseason, especially when there's slow days in the episode, or slow days in free agencies or so, things like that. We're going to put out one of these episodes going through each and every single team in baseball. But I want to start off with this segment, and one of us will do it on the show, and I'm going to make you do it today. We're going to call it the wish list, where you have to pick 3 to 5 things that you would wish to see, you know, make your Christmas list, if you will, for the Phillies to do before opening day in 2025. I know, like, for example, I know you want Taijuan Walker to be traded. That could be obviously one of those lists of things like that. So give me 3 to 5 things on your wish list for the Philadelphia Phillies heading into 2025?
I am going to keep it a little realistic. I'm going to leave Taiwan Walker off of that.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be realistic. Yeah. And keep it realistic.
Yeah. Because with the deal he's got, it's going to be like Patrick Corbin. There's no move in Taiwan Walker. He's a Philly for the remainder of his contract. So my wish list is trade Alec Bohm and get some kind of decent return. Anthony Santander in the mix. And if Alec Bohm gets traded, bring in Alex Bregman to play third base. And with them out on Juan Soto, all three of those things are very doable.
All right. So there you go. That's interesting. I like that. So just to recap that wish list there, you said trade Alec Bohm, bring in Alex Bregman, and bring in Anthony Santander.
Did I say Santander? I'm sorry. Teoscar Hernandez.
Okay. Makes more sense based on how you said at the beginning. Okay. So Teoscar Hernandez, trade Alex Bohm, bring in Alex Bregman. Hey, that's an interesting wish list, and I can see that being absolutely realistic for sure. Let us know your thoughts in the comment description below. What do you think about this Philly squad? Because obviously they're at a plateau, if you will, heading into 2025. And as Troy and I have said on this show, they need to make a big splash heading into this offseason, heading into winter meetings that are just about to start next week. What do they do for the remainder of the offseason, heading into spring training, to make sure they can get that next step and get back into World Series contention? Let us know your thoughts. Hit like and subscribe while you're there, and come on back for another episode of First Pitch. We're here every single day, Monday through Friday, all throughout the offseason. Join myself, Joy Troy, and Lindsey Crosby as we're breaking down news, notes, and everything under the sun with baseball. Until next time, come back here for another episode of First Pitch.